Nobody in Vallejo, California will ever forget the day they played at the Downtown Disco in Vallejo. The Ohio Players.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I remember this jam.
I was not able to make it to their performance, but they're still talking about it in B-Town. And we're back on the Kings roller coaster tonight, or are we? That roller coaster was down in Washington, then back up, up, up in Orlando. Where do we go from here? At least, Kyle Draper, we finally have some clarity. We know that up or down, there's only 12 games left in this thing.
Yeah, this is the final push, man.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult stretch for the Sacramento Kings. But if we were to ask fans, would you take being in this predicament right now? People would love it.
Yep.
Meaningful games late in the season. That's what you want as a fan base.
And we really haven't had many of those seasons around here. You know, it seems like after last year's like, oh, yeah, that's what we always have. But it had been a long time. So as you probably know, the Kings wrap it up here with Philadelphia, then two against Dallas, then Utah and the Clippers. All home games. So a five-game homestand. Then at the Knicks, at Brooklyn, at Boston, at OKC. That's a pretty challenging four-game trip. Then they wrap up the season after that with three home games, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Portland. And then we'll see where we are and get ready for playoff time.
Yeah, and they only, out of the 12, they only have three that are so-called easier games, right? Like
Brooklyn, Portland, and Utah.
Yeah. Outside of that, Knicks. Boston, OKC.
Clippers are terrible.
Phoenix,
right now.
Clipper.
They're terrible right now.
I tell you what, that Clippers game could be massive,
yeah.
Whitey. Right now, you're three behind the Clippers. And,
it's
possible. Like, they are reeling right now. Something's wrong in LA. And we said that last month. And since then, they've continued to struggle. And so I'm not saying that the fourth seed is a possibility.
Yes.
Exactly. And I wouldn't sleep on New Orleans from getting that fourth seed. So why not us get the fifth seed, you know? And mm-hmm. So we're talking about just get in at the sixth. I still think there's room to move up in the standings.
By the way, I know we're talking about the Kings. We're focused on the Kings.
Yes.
Nobody around here cares about the Golden State Warriors. But are the Warriors going to miss the play-in? They lost again last night. They lost at home to the Pacers on Friday. Then they lost in Minnesota yesterday. Steve Kerr now is defending how many minutes he's playing Steph.
Yeah. Think about this. Remember last year their struggles were on the road? Whitey, they are 18-19 at home.
Mm-hmm.
They are one game under 500 at home.
Yep.
They can't protect home court.
Nope.
And so I'm looking at my Houston Rockets. Trust me, I'm a big Houston Rockets. My guy, Ime Udoka and Dylan Brooks.
You have been on board.
Yes. And so they're only a game behind the Warriors right now. And so that would be a tremendous collapse. You know, and with Draymond, we're not worried about the Rockets.
Yeah.
No, you should be.
Yeah. I think Commissioner Silver would step in.
What, and make it like a,
we have an a committee.
Play in.
Now there is a committee that selects the teams in the
right,
play-in.
Right. That final spot is a commissioner's choice, right?
Yeah. Golden State, one game up on Houston, but they are essentially two because of the tiebreaker. And I mentioned the tiebreaker because that's something at stake here between the Kings and some of these teams that they still have left to play. The Dallas tiebreaker is still to be determined, and also the Phoenix tiebreaker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Phoenix one is super. I believe the series is 2-2 with Phoenix, and you got one more left. You know, it's the odd schedule because of the in-season tournament. You play the Suns five times, and so it's 2-2 right now. You got to win that one. You got to win that one. And the same thing with Dallas. If I'm correct, we're up 2-0 on Dallas right now. I got it right here. Let me pull it up. See, I'm on pre and post game tonight.
Right? Right.
So I didn't dive into the stats like I usually do. But, yeah, I think we're 2-0 against Dallas this season. And so the Mavs have a chance to
They can still even things up there.
Yeah, exactly.
So huge games left. One good thing about the fact that the end of the season is so near, the Kings, I think we saw this a little bit against Memphis, maybe against San Antonio. Let's say they find themselves in a tough game tonight.
Yeah.
What happened before, those tough losses before, games they're supposed to win, it really doesn't matter. You know, that's That's done with now.
Right.
I think you can focus, and I think this team has shown they're capable of focusing on the task at hand tonight.
Exactly.
I'd like to think so anyway.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? And, you know, losing against Washington is bad.
Then you come back, yeah.
Yeah, but you got a chance now. And that's the beautiful thing about the NBA. You know, it's ultimately they are only just one game. Like, you lose to Washington, bad loss, awful, yes. But it's just one game.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when it's all said and done, we're hoping that we don't look back at that one game and saying, man, if you would have just. But like I said, and you mentioned it early, everything is still there for them. Top six seed, top five seed. They control their own destiny. And, you know, Allen Stiles had tweeted something out last week about they lost it. No. With two games against Dallas, one against Phoenix, the Kings still control whether they're in the top six or not.
It's an interesting question you raised. This week is the most significant late regular season week in Kings history since, I don't know, I have to go back and check, maybe 2006. Just massive, massive games this week.
Massive games, and, you know, this is what you want as an organization, as a fan base. You want, think about this. The NBA just announced something we had on the Drive Guys Friday. I don't know if you heard this, Whitey, when I mentioned that the Knicks-Kings game on Thursday, April 4th, is now a TNT game.
Aha.
It's been flexed.
All right.
So it is a nationally televised game. We had that last week. Jay remembers. It was Friday we announced that. Well, anyway, when's the last time that the Kings were flexed into national TV the last 2 weeks of a season? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that shows you just the magnitude of where they are and the importance of these games.
Mm-hmm. By the way, is Domas setting NBA history tonight or not?
Oh, 100%.
But that's not really NBA history, is it? I mean, it's a cool
thing. Well, it's not modern-day NBA history, right?
Yeah, but if we're going to celebrate him breaking, as we should, the franchise record, which was held by Jerry Lucas in 1960-whatever, then we have to acknowledge that. Right? I mean, because we go back to 68.
Why are you trying to pour cold water on this?
I'm not.
Why are you
saying
that?
I'm just saying it's a cool thing, but let's not pretend that this is history, NBA history being made tonight. That's all. It's a tremendous thing. But I think he still has a chance to break the record, franchise record for consecutive double-doubles over two seasons.
Yes, he could. Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing, though, with this Kevin Love streak. Nobody ever talked about that. It's not like Wilt scored 100 or anything.
I know.
Nobody, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, Kevin Love did have 53. Like, nobody, it's not in the, you know.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
Basketball Reference. I don't know if they have that listed as, you know.
You're right.
A
That's
stat,
another, yeah,
right?
It's a really cool thing, and it speaks to how consistent he is. But I was looking up, and I think the next one on the list would be Elvin Hayes in 1974. Well, Elvin Hayes probably had no idea in 1974 he had that many double-doubles.
Right.
There was no such thing as a double-double.
Yeah. And when you do know it, you're more aware of it as you're playing, too. Like, you know, if you're at 19-9 with 3 minutes to go, you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get this extra rebound. And so, I mean, we're going to celebrate it. I'll tell you what. If somebody down the road, I-80, was doing it, be like, you know, we're not celebrating that, but it's our guy, so it's something special.
Yes, especially when he has a chance to do it right before he's on national television.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Hey, I apologize. I just lost my services here. My computer.
Man, what's going on here, bro?
I didn't do anything
there or something like that.
And I wanted to just real quickly address what's going on with Shohei's son today, because Shohei Ohtani spoke with he released a statement. Thank you very much, Drapes. Yeah. My apologies to our listeners and viewers. So Shohei issued his first statement since whatever his interpreter did became news. And Shohei says he never bet on baseball up until a couple days ago. I didn't even know this was happening. So long story short, very sad and shocked about the theft allegations against his former interpreter. Shohei's stance here officially is, I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know what this guy was doing, and I'm very sad, but I'm innocent.
So here's my take on the Shohei situation. Is there allegations that he bet on baseball? Why is this a story? Why is this a big deal?
because it's not hard to imagine that, well, if his close friend was involved in it, maybe he was fronting for Shohei.
Well, what if he did bet $4.5 million or whatever it is on sports gambling?
Well, if he just bet on sports gambling, it'd probably be with an illegal bookmaker. It'd be illegal.
Or what if he is in Vegas one week and his guy did it for him or something?
Well, that's the thing about this. You're right, but apparently this all came to light because Shohei's interpreter paid $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker in Las Vegas. And Shohei was somehow linked to actually making the payments, although he says, I was loaning money to my guy. I didn't know that I was going to this bookmaker. That's what he's saying. So you got a MLB player, face of baseball, giving $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker. That's why people are going, whoa, what's going on here? But right now, Shohei's saying, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing.
I'm not bothered by it at all. That Shohei, if he did it. Gambling is such a big part of sports right now.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Did you see Reese Davis? And this was something on NCAA, on ESPN. They were talking about the tournament, and he called, sports gambling. What did he say? I forget the terminology he used. It was something like a risk-free investment, he called it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is the slippery slope that we're on. And so, the league embraces gambling. NBA embraces gambling. NFL, MLB. And so I don't care if it was 50,000, would we be okay with it? Just that it's an illegal bookmaker and that amount of money.
The whole issue is whether, okay, well, if he bet on that, does that mean that he bet on other things? And did he bet on baseball? And that's a little bit of a leap from here,
but it's worth
looking into. It appears, based on what he said and what we do know, it doesn't appear that's the case.
Right.
So anything short of that, I'm
with you. Even if he bet on soccer, the only player
if he bet on soccer or other sports.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
Care.
That's what I know. Athletes that bet and gamble on all kinds of stuff, not necessarily their sport, but I've seen guys bet on other things outside of their sport, and so because of Shohei,
yeah.
Like if this was Joe Schmo, the 25th man on the roster, this wouldn't be big. But because it's the face of Major League Baseball, that this has become huge.
Yeah. Baseball's probably like, that's okay. We'll take
any publicity at this point, right?
Right now. When we come back, a look at the Kevin Herter prognosis. And I have a question for Kyle Draper. Are the Kings a really good shooting team? Next, we come back to the Golden One Center Drive, guys. Sacktown's just talking about baseball, and the Giants were in town yesterday. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the fact that Vivek publicly addressing Sacramento's Major League future. So we'll get to that here. Drive, guys, at the Golden One Center, where we are getting ready here. You can hear in the background halftime. I assume this is halftime.
Yep.
Practices, rehearsals, because we're celebrating Holi or Holi tonight.
Yes.
Which is the Hindu festival of colors. So, yes.
And you can see some of the decorations around here. The balloons over there. You got, it looks like a photo wall that you could take selfies and stuff.
Oh,
and pictures over there. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun night. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's going to be fun because the Kings going to win tonight.
Yeah. Yes, they're going to get a win. Even though I'm from Philly. That's my team. The Sixers grew up in Philadelphia, but my Kings need this win tonight, man.
When did you tear away from them? When did you make that? When did you go solo? And I guess,
when the checks start clearing from the Celtics and the Kings.
Right? Listen to Jay. You know what, though? I'm going to keep it real. And Jay going to clown me for this, but I'm ready for that smoke.
You said you're a Magic Johnson fan.
Exactly.
He was a Laker.
I grew up a Lakers fan.
Wow.
Magic was my guy. Patterned my life like Magic, except the HIV. But everything, like Magic on the court, the sky, the baby running hook over the Celtics, I practiced that day. Like, Magic was my guy.
He played the Sixers in the finals 3 times, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what's so crazy? I'll tell you this story. 1983, NBA Finals. Moses Malone and the Sixers against Kareem and the Lakers. I was cheering for the Lakers.
Wow.
I was 8 at the time.
Sacramento
so the
will
Sixers
take y'all.
Won.
So when you're talking about how Philly is your hometown team, I
now, can I finish my story? Let me. Yes, I'm gonna show you how I got to.
No, cut them off, Whitey. Just cut them off. We don't want to hear about the Lakers.
No, Jay. I'm trying to deliver the real here. So, the Sixers won the championship. I'm 8 years old, mind you.
Yeah,
and I'm sad. I'm upset.
Sixers fan.
I go behind a chair. Mom and dad's like, Where's Kyle? I was hiding. Magic was my guy. So they dragged me out from under the chair, put me in the car, and we went around the car, driving around Philly, honking our horn that the Sixers had won a championship.
Wow.
Now, mind you, this is when I was a kid. I was 8.
Sure.
This is like somebody growing up in Sacramento being a Warriors fan when they're young because Steph Curry's winning, you know. But when you move away, you represent your hometown. Like, so I rock and ride with Philly. The moment I left Philly, I had a Philly badge on me.
But you didn't even root for them when you were there. I
did as I got older. But Magic Johnson was my guy.
Okay.
Back then, it was either Lakers or Celtics, it felt like, at that time.
Yeah.
And so, same thing with the Cowboys. Remember, Jay, I told you the Cowboys story, Big Fella.
Yep, true. Like,
but then they got Tony Romo, and I didn't like the Cowboys. Like, here's the thing. This is the problem with fandom. What if I don't like the players that my team has?
That's all fine, but you can't really, in my opinion, if you're going to, you know, I like this team, I like that team. That's fine. But then you can't have it both ways, you know, where I didn't root for the Sixers when they played the Lakers in the championship. But, boy, Philly, that's my team.
So if I claim a team when I'm 8, I just got to stay with them, huh? When I'm 8 years old, I have to declare my fandom. You're a Lakers fan growing up.
I was.
Are you a Lakers fan now?
Man, what is going on here?
Who's your team now? Exactly. See? And so I think you can claim your hometown no matter what at any point.
Huh.
I paid dues in that city. I paid taxes in that city. I went to school in that city. I earned the right to claim Philadelphia.
But you forfeited by turning your back on them when they're in the finals.
When I was 8 years old. I forfeited my Phillydom when I was 8.
We're
going to ask my guy Keith Pompey. He's coming on at 4:30.
Okay.
He's from Philadelphia also.
Sure.
He writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer. We'll see what he says.
Fellas.
Because I guarantee you Keith Pompey was a Lakers fan growing up.
What about this? And this is something I can agree with you on this, Drapes, is because I went to school in Texas and other places. When you do leave your hometown and or state, people kind of recognize you as that person. Like when I was in Texas, people, hey, Sack, what's up, Cali? People, that was my nickname, right? And so you do take on a persona of this, and I agree with this, is minus the Lakers and the Dodgers, you know, I can, if we're playing a Texas team, I'm rooting for the Padres. I'm rooting for the Chargers to beat the Cowboys. I'm rooting, you know, I can't root for the Lakers, and I can't root for the Dodgers is just against my religion when it comes to sports.
Right,
but
right.
I do understand what you're saying, Drapes, is you do, when you leave, which you've left the nest of Philadelphia plenty of times, you do take on the persona of repping your own town. You do get an automatic badge.
Thank you, Jay. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because when I leave Philly, like Jay said, people are – yo, where are you from? I'm from Philly. That's my, you know, that's my city. And so you start to rep it when you leave.
Mm-hmm. But we know the truth. No, I understand all that. What's the truth here as far as Kevin Huerter is concerned? I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. I haven't heard of this. NBA Analysis Network. Quote, league sources. Yeah, I know.
Where are you getting your sources from? Your info?
League sources tell NBA Analysis Network, again, I've never heard of it, that Huerter is expected to miss the remainder of the season, even if the Kings were to qualify for the postseason, end quote. I don't know who they are or who the league sources are, but we have not heard anything to that effect locally, right? From the beat writers or anybody who is connected with the organization.
Right, obviously. Exactly. Yeah, we have not heard an official word. I think the prevailing speculation, belief, if you will, is that, he's going to be out. And here's the thing that concerns me about his injury. Left shoulder dislocation, they call it. But if I'm correct, the Kings also mention
torn labrum.
Labrum tear.
Ripped out of there, you get the labrum gets torn.
Now, Isaiah Thomas, IT, the pizza guy, his was a hip tear. He came back and played through it, and it was never the same. He was never the same player. I think with Kevin Huerter, and this is the same shoulder that he's had some issues with prior as well.
Uh-huh.
And so I think in his rookie year in Atlanta, he had some issues with it. And so we got 3 weeks left to go in the season. I would be shocked if he's back on the floor for the Kings.
One of the keys to all this, it's something that we have no way of knowing. As you mentioned, the shoulder comes out of the socket, the socket lined with that labrum, so the labrum's torn. How bad is the tear? We don't know. Is it something where they have to operate and, like, sew it back into the bone? We don't know. But if it is, that just takes, no matter who you are, that takes months to recover from. And
yes,
if we're talking months, then he's done.
And it's you know, you use your shoulders in basketball, you know?
Yes.
It's not like, you know, something you don't use. And so this is a big blow. We had on the other day Chris Mannix of SI talking about it, and he talked about just how devastating an injury this is for Sacramento, not just from the production standpoint, but Kevin Huerter does so many other things that doesn't show up in the box score. The floor spacing, you got to hug up on him coming off screens. Our offense is you know, he's a big part of everything we run. And so this is, you know, this is a big injury for the Kings.
No matter who you are, any NBA team could use shooting.
You know what, though? He has the dislocated shoulder. You ever see football players or on TV shows where dislocation, and then you just pop it back into place?
Yeah.
Don't try that at home. I tried that at home, and I think I made it worse. I'm not going to tell the whole injury or what happened because I might get in trouble. Child Protective Services might come. But somebody in my family had a dislocated finger. I'm like, oh, we'll just pop that back in. Nah, it didn't work out. It, you know, went to the doctor. Yeah, broken finger. And so don't – whatever you see on TV.
That's good advice.
Yes, don't try it at home, man. You know, it's don't play doctor at home because, she still gets mad at me. She's like, Dad, you broke my finger. I'm like, no, your finger was already broken. What are you talking about? And so, it was.
Are the Kings a good shooting team? We'll move on for your benefit.
I'm getting in trouble for that one. Oh, my gosh.
Are the Kings a good, you know, we always hear about that. We think that. Mike Brown says, we're a good shooting team. Are they, especially without Kevin Huerter, are they a good shooting team? Because this year they've been an average shooting team. Let's be honest.
You want me to answer that now?
Yeah. Are the Kings a good
shooting
team?
They're okay. They have their moments. You know?
Last year they were pretty good, huh? This year they're...
Well, the problem with the Kings this year when it comes to shooting is they've been wildly inconsistent with their shooting. 1 minute, it's like 17 threes, the next eight, you know? And so I don't know if they have the potential to be a good shooting team. Yes. Last year they were a good shooting
team. I agree.
You know, this year?
At times they have been.
They have,
So if you are sometimes and not others, then overall you're okay.
Yeah. But, you know, to the Kings, you know, what they have going for themselves and for this is that you still got to respect their ability to shoot. You know, it's not like all of a sudden you could just lay off guys or go under screens. Like, teams know that the Kings have the potential to be a great three-point shooting team. And I think they're trying to take that away.
I think they shoot the ball better as a team when the ball moves, when they run the offense, when they ran the offense like they did against Orlando. I mean, Keegan was in rhythm. Keon was in rhythm. When the ball is moving, they shoot better, in my opinion.
Well, and that's what your boy Mike Brown always talks about, right? Those spray threes
that
he's
love.
Talking. Dude, from day one, he's been talking about spray threes. But I know what he means. And so when the ball is hopping around, when you know, guys are touching the paint, it's much easier, Whitey, to catch and shoot in rhythm, you know?
Like,
because when you watch these guys practice and warm up, what's happening? A coach is usually passing them the ball. Catch, shoot. They're not, you know, doing 10 dribbles, going into their bag and trying to shoot. What they practice mostly is the catch and shoot three, and that's a much more efficient shot. And so, yes.
When we come back, Vivek publicly addressing Sacramento's Major League Baseball future. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
It always felt like, at least when I was with the A's, there's kind of a line here between A's and Giants. Obviously, we're a little more Giants here now, especially since the team's here, but just a great baseball town.
That is the great Bob Melvin in town last night.
Oh, yeah.
For the Giants and the Rivercats. Beautiful afternoon out at Sutter Health Park when it looked like, you know, early in the day, it was like, windy and rainy. And beautiful day for baseball out there.
Yeah, I had people I knew who went out there. They said it was a great time, packed house out there to see the Giants organization. Our guy Logan Webb, representing Sacramento, too, said he's got some of his players on board with the Kings now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great day out
there. Big story, NBCSportsBayArea.com. Logan Webb trying to recruit some of his teammates to become Sacramento Kings fans. It's fine if you want to. Fine. We don't need you. I mean, if you want to, great, but we don't need you. Right? We're not desperate. At this point, we're not desperate for fans anymore.
Are we?
Logan Webb.
Are we not? Okay, I agree with you on that. And we're also not desperate for national media attention, right?
We could use some. We could use a little bit. Some of our players could use a little bit.
All right, okay. All right.
Good for Logan Webb. I mean, that's good. Sticking up for his team. And we got Vivek sticking up for his city. Now, I don't know where you guys are, Jay, Drapes, dear listener. This whole thing about the A's maybe coming to Sacramento, I guess maybe that's still in play, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like they're going to stay in Oakland, right?
It seems to be looking that way. Nothing's official, but it looks like it's trending that way.
Yes. But doesn't mean baseball is dead here in Sacramento.
Right. And Sacramento is a great baseball town. And Jake Gaudin of CBS 13, he just did a little sit-down with Vivek. Vivek Ranadive. Here's Vivek talking about Sacramento's Major League Baseball future.
It's no secret that I'm friends with John Fisher, and I've been talking to him about having the A's play here for a few years. And I've also been in touch with the baseball commissioner about possibly having a major league team here. And if we can make the A's thing happen, and if we can show that, hey, this is an amazing fan base, we're going to have a huge response if we have baseball here. So in my mind, this should be a mecca for sports. It should be soccer. It should be baseball. It should be women's volleyball. It should be a whole range of sports.
How confident are you that can happen in the next 10 years, though?
I don't see any reason why that can't happen. Certainly, we have the community. We have the fan base. We've got a track record of doing what we say we're going to do. We said we were going to do this. We were going to build an arena. We were going to sell games out. We were going to make it a successful business. We've done all that. So I think we just have to keep moving forward and just working hard, and I think it'll happen.
Vivek Ranadive with Jake Gaudin from CBS 13 here in Sacramento. So interesting. Vivek laid it out there. Hey, if we can make this thing happen in Sacramento with the A's and then show Major League Baseball what we can bring to the party, why wouldn't they give us a team?
I 100% agree. And I like Vivek's big picture thinking. You know, he's trying to elevate the city of Sacramento, this region. Why can't we become a destination? Why can't we become Los Angeles, San Francisco, a Pittsburgh even? Like, look at Pittsburgh and the teams that they have. Think about it. They got multiple teams, everything except basketball. But they got three professional teams there, you know, Philadelphia. And so I like the big picture thinking. It's not small-minded. And the fact that he said, I don't see why an MLB team can't be here in the next 10 years, that's kind of encouraging to me. That it sounds like from his discussions that Major League Baseball might be open to Sacramento in the future.
I can give you a few reasons why, you know, that probably wouldn't happen. I'm with you. It's great to have somebody championing our cause and just thinking in those terms. You know, the Kings wouldn't be here if it weren't for Greg Lucanville,
right.
Who just had that vision. And then, of course, he and his partners like, well, let's do that at a time when Sacramento NBA, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They made it happen. So it's great to have Vivek talking about that. We obviously we don't have a stadium, and then we're so close to the Bay Area. That's probably Sacramento's biggest issue when it comes to Major League Sports, is we're so close to the Bay Area. Like, if the A's leave there and baseball looks at, do we go Sacramento or do we go back to Oakland? I mean, it's tough to compete against a much larger market right down the street.
Yeah, but when you look at it, you had San Francisco, the Giants, and the A's right there. Why can't this part of Northern California, extending up into Oregon, be the Sacramento team? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know it's a long shot when you look at Portland, who wants a team.
Nashville.
Yeah. Austin, Texas, you know,
you
got all these cities.
Montreal,
Louisville, you know, all these cities that want a team. But you need somebody like Vivek, like a Greg Lukenbill, that is going to champion for your city.
No question.
And I love the fact that Vivek, former co-owner of the Warriors, is trying to put Sacramento on the map, buying the River Cats, trying to get an MLS team here. He mentioned women's volleyball. And then we talked about this last week or a couple of weeks ago. Professional sports really defines your city. When you look at the major cities in America, they all have professional sports. You talked about it. Do you want to become Hartford? Or do you want to become, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think, you know, you go back to 1985 before the Kings got here and people – we're like, basketball, Sacramento, you're always going to have those naysayers, those doubters. But if you build it, they will come, right? And it may not happen in 5 years, 10 years, and it may take some time to get off the ground. But having another professional sports team can transform the city of Sacramento.
To me, the whole key to what he said there was the notion that if we can prove, if we can get the A's here and show Major League Baseball what Sacramento can do. Because Sacramento's at a huge disadvantage to some of those other cities, in my opinion, just by virtue of the fact that they have a head start on us. But if we could have the A's for a few years, that's an advantage that none of those other cities have. The chance to, all right, they're yours for an extended period. Show us what you can do.
I go back to Oklahoma City when it comes to the NBA.
You're right.
You know, they were able to get, at the time, the New Orleans Hornets to play there in Oklahoma City, and the fan base rallied around it, built them a stadium, and then you had an owner in Clay Bennett, bought the Sonics, moved them to Oklahoma City. We already have an ownership group here. We have a guy like Vivek already here. What's that next team outside of Oakland that might be on the move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it Kansas City? Is it Milwaukee? I don't know, but I like the conversation. The fact that we're having these conversations, I love it.
It definitely moves things in the right direction.
Yeah.
How much, we don't know, but it definitely moves them in the right direction. And then as far as the A's in Sacramento, I think, as we all are as baseball fans, with a lot of the things having to do with this A's potential move, we just have to sit back and wait and see where it goes from here. So
they're
having the talks with Oakland. Where does that go? How quickly do things come together in Vegas? We just have to wait.
Right.
And, at least we're there and we're ready.
Here's the thing, too, that Sacramento has going for it. If I'm correct, at last check, they were 20th. We're the 20th largest media market. And so it's not like we're a podunk town or anything. Like, we can pull in fans. The fan infrastructure isn't the problem. It's the corporate support. You know, do we need to get more companies here? But from a fan's perspective, we are large enough to support a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, the tricky thing about that to me, and I could be wrong, but I believe when we call, Jay, if I'm wrong here, if you know better, please correct me. My understanding is when they talk about Sacramento as the 20th largest TV market, you're also including Sacramento, Stockton, Modesto.
Correct.
Okay, that's one TV market.
Yeah.
But those are, you know, we're not like that close together.
But close enough, though.
Area.
But close enough, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Stockton, just a short drive down I-5, you know? It's right there.
Any other reason why I should go down to Stockton?
Go see my five friends at Mercedes-Benz
of
Stockton. Just a short drive down I-5.
Wearing that Alsco uniform.
You're right. It includes... Yes, you're right. But I do think, you know, we support the Kings. This place is banged out, packed out. You know, you look at a city like, I look at the proximity of New York and Boston, let's say. They sort of split it in half and draw Connecticut in half. Why can't we have the Stockton, have the Modesto? Go on out, you know, like I said, up to Oregon. And so I think I think there's enough room here for us to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this would be a great opportunity. We'll see where it goes. I still think they're going to stay in Oakland. I think that's the smartest thing for them, too.
Yeah, smartest thing. And, you know, from a city standpoint.
And I mean before they move. I'm not saying they'd stay.
Right. Yes, yes. And from a city standpoint, I think having them move to Sacramento, that. No, and I get it. You hurt feelings and everything. And you're upset, but they're still the Oakland A's.
We have some interesting information. Kyle Draper with some interesting information on a breaking news involving an NBA betting investigation.
Yeah.
We've got that for you when we return to the Gold One Center, Sactown Sports. If you get a chance, we'd love for you to join us tomorrow. We'll be doing our show from near the arena. We'll be doing our show, Drive Guys, coming in tomorrow from Beach Hadeli. Just,
yeah, right outside of
I'm
looking forward to that, man. It'll be our first live show, be able to interact with the fans and the viewers. And I got two tickets. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with for Friday's game against Dallas. Depending on the interest in the crowd that shows up, I might give them away. I've been holding them, sitting on them, trying to figure out what to do with them. And so that's a monster game come Friday against Dallas. I got two tickets. Right here on my trusty app right here.
Nice. Among other things, we can talk trade with some of our listeners here. We have on the chat already today here, Pike 916, Sasha for Kuminga, straight up, question mark.
He said Kuminga?
No, he does say, says, hey, I'm just dreaming.
Oh, but, dang, is that what we're doing? Hey, we're still waiting to see if Sasha plays tonight. Listed as questionable once again.
We also have from Baby Cake, Sasha for Moses Moody.
Why would the Golden State do that?
They don't seem to appreciate Moses Moody.
They really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been a good soldier, you know. Like, if I'm him, I'm like, get me out of here. Somewhere where I can play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, go and make my mark. Especially the Warriors aren't even winning. It'd be different if you're competing for a championship. But those days are long and done.
Speaking of Sasha... You know, we just found out that Nemanja Bjelica is retiring.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm wondering if there's still a chance that Sasha can follow his career arc and he have a better career than Nemanja Bjelica. But before we get to that, Drapes, I know that you had a very interesting note here, breaking news today, on an NBA gambling investigation.
Yeah, this is something Woj just reported and wrote for ESPN. Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. According to Woj, at issue are the prop bets involving Porter from a game in January and a game in March. The game January was against the Clippers, and the prop bets for that night were at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made threes, which was 0.5. Well, Porter just played in 4 minutes in that game, leaving the game because of what they said was an eye injury. Well, then in March against Phoenix, his numbers were at 7.5 and 5.5. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook, and these are two prop bets from two dates, DraftKings Sportsbooks reported to its users that Porter's prop bets were the number one money maker from the night in the NBA. So, the first one back in January 26, he hit the, it was the under. the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props. A lot of people don't even know who Jontay Porter is.
He's Michael Porter's brother.
Yeah, Michael Porter's brother, but younger brother. But why is that much action coming in on him? And so that's the irregularities that is creeping up. And so this is a slippery slope we got going on right here, Whitey.
Yeah, the player props are interesting. I mean, it's not unusual to just be hanging out with media members before a game, and they're going over all the player props. So are we thinking here that this is a situation where he's given some kind of inside information to a lot of people, or he's somehow involved in these efforts to make money off?
I mean, this could go a lot of different ways. This guy's a $450,000 rookie right now.
Wouldn't you just take the under all the time on him and you're going to win? I mean, I'm sorry, but am I wrong?
No, take the under.
No, you
are wrong, Whitey, because a couple of nights after that Clippers game, I got the Porter played 19 minutes two days later and had 12 points with 7 rebounds and 3 assists.
Okay.
So, come on. But this is – man, I'm not a fan of – these organizations talking about NBA, NFL, getting in bed with sports gambling.
Too late, though, right?
It's too late, but I'm not a fan of this. Jontay Porter reportedly makes $450,000 this year, a rookie, a two-way player. But this raises all kinds of questions. A, and I don't want to, accuse anybody. But
you're just talking about the questions.
Yeah, the questions.
That's all fair.
Exactly. Is Jontay Porter himself involved? Is it trainers? Is it the coaching? And so it's a slippery slope right here, man. And we're just talking about Shohei Ohtani, and it's I just don't like the way it's going in sports right now.
Yeah, and we talked about this earlier for those who maybe didn't get a chance to hear. Shohei basically today issued a statement and said, I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to do with this bookmaker. I have not been betting, and I have not been on baseball. So Shohei today was just like, I didn't know anything about it. That's his stance. As far as this goes, the problem is, Kyle, as anyone who's ever followed any of this knows, for years, especially in baseball, because they had the Black Sox scandal in 1919, it's like, no gambling whatsoever, nothing. There's no connection to gambling. Because if people don't believe the games are on the level, what do we have? And now, I mean, you've got a team in Vegas, lots of teams in Vegas, and you've got all these affiliations with sports books. The pro sports leagues have decided, well, the money that we're getting is more important than any shadows that might be cast over our credibility. And besides, we can keep a lid on it anyway. Right? We can prevent our players from gambling. So
yeah.
once that genie's out of the bottle, though, you can't put it back in.
No, you can't. And, our guy Compio weighing in on YouTube says sports gambling will be the downfall of competitive sports. And so he brought up Temple University. There are some, questions about their basketball program and the unusual amount of activity that's coming in. Like, think about it. Jontay Porter, the largest moneymaker on two separate days in the NBA on that given night. Like, who's coming in with that kind of cash, on Jontay Porter? It raises a red flag big time.
Shohei's interpreter, maybe?
Maybe that's the millions that he put down in question, right? But, yeah, it just stinks, man. It just reeks. I don't want any part of it. And as an NBA employee, I can't, we go through training every year about what you can and can't say.
Well, remember, but to your point, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Chuck Swirsky down here a couple of games ago, he says some joke about, oh, I'll bet you pizza, and he goes, oh, I can't.
Right, you can't.
I can't do that. I'm just kidding. I can't say that.
Anything related to NBA embedding, no bueno. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so, even a tip on, this guy is going to play if somebody asks. You got to really tread lightly on what you say.
How can leagues think, though, that they realistically can keep their players from gambling when, you know, that's the target for a lot of sports gambling, right, is the young men who are in your pro leagues, if other than I'm not talking about the women's leagues, obviously. That's the target. And then you've got all this you've got all these affiliations with them, and somehow you think that, oh, well, we'll have a few meetings here or there, and we'll tell them not to do it, and they won't do it.
Impossible, right?
It's just not realistic.
Not realistic. Some people, you know, may follow the rules, but it's in your face now. Tyrese Halliburton had an interesting comment. What was it, last week or a couple of weeks ago? He feels like people don't even care about whether he wins or loses, but does he hit his numbers for bettors? And I was naive about 5 years ago. Somebody was telling me, when I was in Boston, that sports betting is the future. And I'm like, why? Like, I just don't see it. But now there's so much money in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's media networks, careers being made, and it's a massive thing.
But I don't know the answer to this, but haven't they had betting on football in Europe for years? And, I mean, they've been able – for the most part, to avoid any major betting scandals,
right?
I think.
Haven't
they been doing that for decades?
So is this Jonte Porter situation, is this Shohei situation, how massive is it? Like, how much of a problem do you think this really is then? Is it just one person? I think that the issue comes with, you know, you have a situation like the Jonte Porter situation. I'm just, you know, speculating here that in the future, like if a player can control the outcome of bets, that's
right.
I mean, it's who was it? Which basketball player was that in college? Was it Minnesota or Arizona State? Arizona State had a major scandal back in the day, and they threw the book at that program. I get it. A lot of people gamble. I gamble, not on sports really. But I gamble, you know, in other aspects. But, man, I just don't like it.
Well, you know, there are some that will tell you that one of the greatest players ever to play never really went away to play baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the speculation.
Yeah,
I know exactly who you're talking about.
More on that when we come back. Also, I'll tell you about the Kings, how they seek to turn around a very troubling trend tonight to drive guys from the Gold One Center. Sac Town Sport.